Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at httpvoicerepublic.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my hang me to the king. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you.
Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. This is Michelle Alexander with A Girl's Guide on Air, and I believe that we have a very powerful show tonight. The switchboard is already lit up with people calling in and listening, people wanting to talk, and I haven't even announced on the air what our topic is about, but we've done a lot of promotion today. Today we're going to talk about church hurt. There is a new film coming out soon from Empower Productions that really prompted this. And I've been wanting to talk about this subject for a long time, but it was Onyx Keisha's announcement that she was doing a film called Church Hurt that really put it in the forefront of my mind and made me say, okay, let's do this show now because obviously we need to talk about it. But before we get into the show, I want to talk about a couple of things that we always go over at the beginning of our show. Who and what is the Girls Guide and what are we all about? I want to say that I believe, and one of the reasons why I created a Girls Guide is that I believe that within our community, we've got the tools to support and nurture and heal each other. And I think that there's a lack of healthy dynamics in our relationships, not only with self and others. And I wanted to bring just a lot of these topics and things that we don't talk about to the forefront so we can talk about them so that we can heal. One of my mottos is we talk about the ugly in the effort to make it beautiful. So a Girls Guide on Air is just the dialogue part of a girlsguide.org. I want to talk about a couple of sponsors that we have. Bad Girl Media is my co-creator with A Girl's Guide. Piper York, she created our website. She does all of our logo designs and all of our media designs. And so if you are interested in building your own website because you've got your own project going on or you need business cards or you know anything like that, definitely reach out to Piper York.
You want to go in because I'm going to fire somewhere.
Okay. Also, our next sponsor is Coach Carrie. Now, she's been my personal life coach and has given me invaluable tools for moving my ideas to execution. And so if you need that little push in life and you are needing just that little thing just to get you going in the direction of your journey and your vision, reach out to Coach Carrie. You can find her on Facebook. Our last but definitely not least sponsor for the evening is the Onyx Academy of Visual and Performing Arts. Now, there are two locations, one in Conyers and one in Atlanta, that offer classes in dance, drama, film, and fashion. And she's going to be having a free youth performing arts workshop starting on September 14th for youth filmmakers. So and she's also going to be having, how exciting is this, ladies, pole dance lessons coming soon. So if you're interested, go to theonyxacademy.com or you can email onyx@onyxkeisha.com. So let's get into the meat of our show. I want to introduce our first guest, who many of you know because she has put on some powerful performances, but I'm going to take a brief second just to read her bio because, you know, I want to try to sum it up, but for some reason I can never sum up a bio because I think that everything needs to be told about my guest. So Onyx Keisha is the, right? Onyx Keisha is the CEO and founder of Empower Productions and the Onyx Academy of Visual and Performing Arts with branches in both Atlanta, Georgia, and New Jersey. So she definitely is building an empire, ladies. She has graced the stage in Lorinda Brown's Walk Like a Man and Sometimes It Snows in Atlanta. She can also be seen on the web series Between Women where she plays Allison Young. Onyx was recently cast in a new series called Guppies where she plays a sex-crazed therapist. Okay. Named Jordan, and she'll be starring in a reality show called We Are People Too, which follows her as she navigates her acting career, running her business, and being a mom. And that's a whole lot of jobs right there. In addition to her acting career, Onyx is very accomplished theater director. She has directed numerous shows around the country, including For Color Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Not Enough. And I've personally seen that, and it was powerful. She also directed The Dead Monologues, The Wiz, Ada, and lately she's turned her attention to promising her original works. She has directed the New York and Atlanta runs of Sincerely Yours, and that's a gripping tale of the last moments of a young man's life and the much buzz about world premiere of Natalie Simone's play, Only God Can Judge Me. Now, recently, Onyx has transitioned from theater to directing and producing films. Some of her most recent works include The First Noel, Shattered Serenity, and the groundbreaking film Studsman, which is currently showing in theaters across the country. Onyx Keisha was also the host, or is, I should say, also the host of One-on-One with Onyx, and it's an internet talk show that highlights the accomplishments of entertainers, entrepreneurs, and professionals in the Atlanta area. She has interviewed such personalities as Kelly Price, Candy Burris, Derek J., RL from The Nets, and Snoop from The Wire, and so many more. Now, she's in the process of revamping One-on-One with Onyx and creating an all-new live web talk show that will feature a studio audience called Blurring the Lines That Divide Us. So, Honest Keisha is excited about her next project, and so am I, about Sinful Paradise, a hot and sexy cyber soap, and our topic of discussion, Church Hurt, the movie. Welcome to my show, Honest.
I am so excited and honored to be here. Thank you, first and foremost, for even tackling this topic.
Oh, let me tell you, this topic is very personal to me. I spent many, many years, I affectionately refer to myself as a recovering Pentecostal. So I have seen Church Hurt in its deepest form. And I remember just trying to move through that and not only just resolve my sexuality and my spirituality, but just get past the hurt people that hurt people. Because
right.
In my experience, those have been some of the most damaging and hurtful relationships that I've ever experienced in my life. So I'm really glad that you're tackling this topic. And I'm excited because we've got two of your writers, Mikhail Sullivan and Beautiful, on the line with us tonight that are also going to talk about what some of the motivation, purpose, and the message of this movie is about. So I want to just give you a chance to talk about some of the things that you got going on. I know that I read your bio, but tell us, just from your lips, what you have going on and why this movie Church Hurt is so important to you.
Okay, well, I am originally from New Jersey, where I have my production company, Empower, as well, and we really focused on theater. I decided that I wanted to relocate to the Atlanta, Georgia area to really get my foot into film and doing some things for my community.
Okay.
So just decided to pack up and come. And since I've been here, I have met, so many amazing people, and I have been incredibly inspired. So a lot of the projects that I'm doing now really comes from that. The people around me have empowered me. So it's like I'm now able to really express myself creatively and really work with a collective of artists and professionals who share the same vision and goal that I share, and it really just is refreshing. And Church Hurt was ironically born out of a lot of the stories that I heard from a lot of my peers. Ironically enough, I have personally never experienced church hurt, but I feel that is so key and why it was so important for me to touch this topic. I did not grow up in a home that really stressed religion in any way. So what I found is when I was able to come into my spiritual growth and to develop my relationship with God, I didn't have a lot of that religious baggage that a lot of people had. Like, I would sit in church and I would see people, still afraid and ashamed and unsure, and it was something that I couldn't really comprehend because
because you had never experienced it yourself.
I never had a concept of that God wouldn't love me as I am. So I just, anything I don't understand, I like to really explore. So I just started asking people to share their stories. And once I heard those stories, I had no choice but to act on it. I had no choice but to creatively build a platform where we can talk about this, because my art is my activism, and I felt like we really needed to bring this to the forefront.
Absolutely. And I think that you're right. I think that sometimes in our community, I won't say in our community, especially in church, if we don't talk about it, it'll go away. It's like this big pink elephant that we hope just walks out the door. And the fact is that pink elephant never walks out the door. It just sits in the middle of the living room, and so people start to dissect it and eat it one bite at a time. So I think this is a great move in that direction, into healing our community so that we can each walk in our own firmness and assurance that we are loved by God, Yahweh, Spirit, Universe, whatever we want to call our higher power, that we are loved just the way that we are. And I'm really excited because we have two of your writers online with us tonight, and I want to talk specifically about where they went to pull this script from. Where was it personal? Was it you know, where do they go? So Beautiful and Mikkel, I know that I have you guys on the line with us, and you both are writers for this movie. So let's talk about that. Where is this a personal experience for each of you? Did you go, you know, did you go to church where you experienced church pain? Did you grow up with church pain? Let's talk about that.
This is okay.
Beautiful, Mikkel. Either one.
Hi. Personally, I have not experienced church pain. In fact,
who am I talking to? Is this Beautiful or is this Mikkel?
This is Mikkel.
Hey, Mikkel.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on my show. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
No, I'm excited. Okay, so. So personally, you've never experienced church pain?
No, I haven't. And I think for the script, The Church Hurt, I think I really just, as a writer, had to create a character who was, you know, or characters who were hurt in some ways. I'd experienced pain, and it was just a matter of taking the pain that I've experienced and kind of transitioning them or kind of morphing them to into a church hurt.
Okay. So you pulled away from friends or?
You know, pain from other people, you know, the not being accepted by people that matter to you or, you know, even in school, elementary school, not being accepted by your peers, that's a different kind of pain, but on some level it can equate to church hurt, so I did get a lot, dig into that part of my experience personally.
Okay. Okay. How about you, Beautiful? Where did you pull this from?
Hey, well, just as Mikkel said, I can't say I've experienced any church hurt or church pain myself either. And also to piggyback on what Onyx said, you know, I didn't grow up in a home that, you know, stressed church or religion, so I was able to kind of grow and kind of develop my own identity within that. But as a kid growing up, I did attend church and a lot of church activities with my friends, you know, whose parents were very, very strict on them about attending church and living a certain way and doing things a certain way. So a lot of the places where I pulled, you know, the emotion, the responses, the reactions and all that into the characters came from where I kind of observed growing up from my friends when they made mistakes or they did something that their parents didn't, you know, agree with because of the church or because of, you know, those church values that were instilled into them and kind of how that affected them. As well as the fact that I work just with people all the time, and specifically I work with youth, and I specifically had a young lady who identified as lesbian. She was, you know, in foster care because her parents were ministers in the church and didn't accept her. So really just watching all of that she went through within herself and with her parents was being rejected. So that's, I just pulled from everything I've ever experienced.
Okay. So if you've not personally experienced church hurt, what was your motivation then for becoming a writer on this project?
For me, this is Beautiful. I believe in stretching all of my talents and skills and abilities. So to kind of step out of something that, you know, I may not be completely familiar with, you know, and just kind of, you know, reaching and developing something. And I also totally believe in Onyx's vision for the story. So I was definitely motivated to be a part of it, to write.
I would like to say, Mikkel, how this all kind of came about was I was trying to find a church home here in the Atlanta area, and I definitely wanted to attend an affirming church. So I kind of jumped from church to church, and I was fed, but I felt like I wasn't fully fed. And one day I went to Vision Cathedral, and the first the first Sunday I went there, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm home. I'm ready to join church, and that is so not me. Like, I'm like, you know, I need to really analyze and think about things. But feeling that I got from not only Bishop preaching, but from the community and the fellowship as a whole, it really inspired me. But I didn't join. I went back the following Sunday, and I was moved more than I have ever been moved before. And it was just by the welcoming environment. And it was that inspired me to create the story of Church Hurt, because I felt like if everyone, no matter what their church hurt is, yes, our church hurt in our community, but no matter what it is that they feel like they are not accepted for, if they could come to a place where they felt truly welcomed and then be able to build that connection with the creator, then I just felt like it would help our community so much. So I came home. I came up with a storyline, a concept. I had so many stories in my head of all of my peers who were hurting inside because of church hurt, because of the baggage that they had. And I just kept thinking about their stories and their tears and their pain. And I developed a story. And we have quite a few writers who work with Empower. And I approached Mikkel and Beautiful with the concept and with the story. And a lot of times I'm very protective over the concept. Like, I want the writers to really feel free enough to add their own style to it, but I really like to keep the core values. And Mikkel and Beautiful, they jumped on writing the script, and not only did they add all of the ingredients that it needed, they went back and they went back, and it went back for so many rewrites, and they really worked so hard to create characters that were real, that were alive, that were tangible, and characters that other people could relate to. I've heard from the people who have read the script, this is my story. This is what I went through. So many times, and I took it to my bishop, and I said, you know, this was inspired from what you created, and he absolutely loves it and completely supports us, and that has just given us so much more motivation to make this such an authentic story. So we are constantly, you know, talking to people and adding the energy that it needs so that this story can really impact the world. And I actually think it is a great thing that we are able to tell a story from a way where we are not so immersed in the actual events of it. Because our peers who have experienced church hurt, to sit down and to detach themselves from the script, to write it in a way that will not just validate their feelings, but also be a tool that can empower and expose the world. Those who believe that, you know, not everyone is loved by God. Like, this film is for them too. This film is for everyone, so that everyone can experience what it feels like to be rejected by the one place that is supposed to accept you, or to feel like you are never going to be good enough, or to constantly live in a box where you feel like you have no right to exist.
Very powerful, Onyx, very powerful. And I want to talk really quick about my experience with Vision Church. I come from the Church of God in Christ background, raised Baptist, but then moved over into the Pentecostal denomination and did Assemblies of God, and then kind of, I don't want to say ended my church career, because that's a whole other show. But my last church that I probably attended on a regular basis was a Church of God in Christ. And the pastor of Vision Church, one of the reasons that I went there is because I had followed him or followed the doctrine that he came from quite closely. And Carlton Pearson, I believe is his name.
Yes.
Carlton Pearson, yeah. I used to watch Carlton Pearson when he was on, like, Benny Hinn and you know, and TBN and all those shows because, it, you know, at one point that was my life. And when Carlton Pearson pulled away from that ministry, from that denomination, and he started to talk about the doctrine of inclusion and how we really don't have the right or the ability or, you know, we can't say who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. And everybody who has who believes in a higher power, who believes in God, has the right to interpret salvation the way that they interpret it. And what I loved about Vision Church is that they pulled away from the Kojic Church because they that's where they come from. They pulled away from the Kojic Church and they started following the doctrine of inclusion. And immediately when I went there, and I've been there a few times, I immediately felt welcome. I immediately felt like I could come here on a regular basis and not feel like I had to compromise any sort of my personality, of who I was. I mean, when you have a pastor who openly talks about his husband, who openly affirms his marriage, that's something very powerful for the LGBT community because we don't see that. I don't know of any other church that that I know of, I haven't seen it, where you've got an openly married gay pastor. And that's what he walks in. And I think recently they adopted a little girl recently, so they grew their family, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right. So yes. I think for us in the LGBT community to actually see a loving couple openly affirming themselves in the church environment it's beyond powerful. So that's one of the reasons why I'm such a fan of Visions Church. So I just wanted to kind of give that out. So if he's listening, hey, Bishop, how you doing?
Yes, hey. And Michelle, one thing I wanted to say is my casting director and assistant director, Tyra, grew up in the church, and she has really been so instrumental in casting this show and also in helping us make sure that it is completely authentic to so many of the experiences, and I know she's on or should be on. I would love for her to talk a little bit about her experience.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, I know that I've got a ton of callers. I'm just trying to find the number that she's calling from because I don't think it's the one that I have. So maybe if Tyra, if you could send me an inbox really quick with a number that an inbox on Facebook with the number that you're calling from, I'm going to pull you in because I would love to hear what you have to say about this. Because it does sound like it's very personal for you. While we're waiting for that, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, we've kind of talked about the movie as a whole, but we haven't gotten to the meat of the movie. And I don't want to give the story away. I don't want to give, you know, the movie away. But I do want to talk about some of the issues that I'm hoping that you guys are going to address. You going to address hypocrisy in the church?
Absolutely.
And how are you going to do that?
Well, first of all, there are two strong churches that are a part of this film. And the main church where our character, Michelle, attends and loves, and she grew up in the church, her father is the deacon, they are very vocal about dismissing her choices. However, mm-hmm. they let a lot of other things slide. And one of the things that we have in the film for a comic relief, but it is so true, is our gossiping church ladies. And how they
did you say the gossiping church ladies?
I said it. The gossiping church ladies.
Yes.
We have a couple of them.
We have had we know them.
You know? And really having them be a part of it really highlights a lot of the hypocrisy on a very basic level that happens in the church and how a lot of times people are so hard on homosexuality and then so many other things are just kind of ignored and dismissed. So that is definitely something that we touch upon. Definitely.
Okay. What about, and I don't know because I haven't seen the film and haven't read the script, but are you guys going to talk at all about what spirituality versus religion may look like in our community?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I know I need to let Mikhail and Beautiful talk because they are just in love with these characters. But I just want to say absolutely. The couple, Michelle and Jamie, Michelle is so, she loves her church. She is very traditional. And Jamie really talks about spirituality. And she is on a journey to connect with her spirituality. And towards the end of the film, we really understand the difference and how those two can coexist with each other. And that, you know, there is a difference between, you know, really being religious and being spiritual.
Right.
And,
can I just say,
I'm excited about talking about it.
No, but can I just interject my own opinion here? And I'm just going to say this and then we can move on. But religion sucks.
Okay.
I hate religion. I hate it. Okay, we can move on. But FYI, I found Tyra. She is on the line with us. And I know, Tyra, you have such ties to this subject. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about what your motivation was for getting involved and what kind of passion you're going to pour into this. Because I tell you, I'm so excited about this movie. I'm so excited. Tell us what you're going to bring to us as the assistant director.
Absolutely. First of all, I would like to just say thank you so much for allowing us to have a platform, to have such a dialogue, because, again, you know, as it was spoken before, there is so much church hurt that it revolves around so many different aspects of just people. You know, people are trying to find God, have a relationship with God, have a relationship with themselves and that kind of thing. And what Onyx did was just open up a whole world for people to actually see and reflect on even how they functioned in the church. So I come from very different, a different type of experience where I did grow up in church. Because my mother was a minister of music, and she's one of the national mothers at Vision Church of Atlanta. So, being that I have someone that supports who I am, you know, and loves me unconditionally and really embodies that, I got a sense of knowing who I was, you know, just growing up in it, no matter what I saw, right? But I was always close to leadership. And one of the things, I've been at Vision Church of Atlanta for almost 8 years now since it started. Bishop and I actually were friends prior to and attended a different church before. And so I actually watched him walk into that ministry. And I had the pleasure of being his executive assistant for a while as well. And the thing was, what I really appreciated was him creating a door and an avenue where people could move beyond their perceived perception of differences to really embrace a transformative space of healing. So, because
say
all
that again.
Of the
Tyra, say that again. Say that again.
Yes.
The fact that, you know, he created a space. Now, Michelle, don't do that to me.
Say that again.
But
we have church here tonight. Say that again.
For people to move beyond their perceived differences to create a transformative space of healing. Because the truth of the matter is, even the people in ministry, and this is speaking to you, Michelle, for you to understand that, because, again, being a child that actually grew up in it, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also walked with leadership, whereas they're still hurting. It's people in leadership that are still
hurting. Absolutely.
So us understanding, you know, that, A, we're people and we're trying to do the same thing. We're trying to have a relationship and find meaning in life. And when we get to that space where we can actually transform, oh, my God, the powerful place that we would have to embody who God really is and the Spirit of God, we would change the world no matter what walk of life you come from. So,
yeah,
I was burning to get that out. So, yes, thank you. And I absolutely love it. I adored it. I read the script. And, you know, like, there's stories upon stories where even people that are homeless can't, you know, get the help that they need because they're being looked at a certain way. So not only the LGBT community, it's so many avenues where people are experiencing hurt, and that's why we have to transform. That's why our leaders have to transform, you know, and people that with closed minds, they have to transform so we can really understand who God is.
I just had to do a deep sigh. Because God is not who many of us think he is, right? It's just not. What religion nowadays is portrayed in the media really is not the core of who God is.
And we've
gotten so caught up in judgment and I'm gonna cry. You know, my personal journey is, you know, I remember, you know, early in my journey of coming out, I remember there was a woman that went to a church that I went to, and this is when I was attending Assemblies of God. And I remember she was very obviously a lesbian, and I'm not trying to, like, please don't call in saying what does a lesbian look like, but look, we all know. She was very lesbianized, okay? There was no doubt, okay? There was no doubt that she was a lesbian. And I remember she went to the altar for prayer, for healing for her body. And all they could talk about was her sexuality. That's all they could talk about. And she was hurting in her body, and that's what they chose to pick out. And she didn't get fed there. What she got was damaged and hurt there.
Yeah,
and
right.
That just forever sticks out in my mind because – you know, if the church is supposed to be a place of healing, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally, it's just not happening. It's not happening. We're hurting people. So, again, I'm so glad you guys are doing this. So, Tyra, talk about a little bit about, you know, and Tyra and Onyx, both of you, are you guys going to talk about the whole coming out process, or are you just going to assume that people have already come out in this movie, or tell me where, how you're going to address that topic?
Yeah, I think some people are already, I mean, well, we don't want to give it away, of course.
No,
but
don't give it away.
There are people that are walking in their truth, and that's another point that I did want to say. You know, one of the characters is wonderful. She's walking in her truth, and no matter how close people are, she's being who she is. I think that's key for us, because the thing is, we have to bring what we are to the table, and we have to make them deal with it. We have to allow them to see us. That's the only way change is going to happen. When the woman ran to Christ and got through the whole crowd, she didn't care what people were saying about her. She got to the healing garment. That was the bottom line. She had to receive her own healing. And I think we have to empower ourselves to do that. And I think that Church Hurt is that platform for that. It's to be a voice and to get it out there, to say, you can come. Come on. I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you and lead you in the right direction. There are places out there. There is more than vision. Of course, I'm partial to vision, but there's more than vision. There are spaces where people can get that absolute transformative healing. They can. And you have to be able to empower yourself and create that space for yourself as well. So it's definitely that character out there too. And that's why I like it so much, because it touches every aspect of a person, if that makes sense. You know, Even the people that are condemning people are hurt. They're hurt.
Yeah. You know, somebody once told me that the church really is where broken people go to be healed. And so what often happens is that you have people who, you know, want to belong, get involved in leadership, and that's how you get, like, what we were talking about, how some people just continue to hurt people. Because there's no training for... In church, we don't talk about the reasons why we come and why we're hurt and why we're broken when we come to church. We just take it to the altar and we lay it down, and oftentimes people just pick it right back up because they don't know how to truly lay it down. So those people walk in the ministry and they walk in who they are in church, continuing to carry that. So I did go to a church one time where my pastor was also a licensed therapist. So he did a really good job of balancing the spiritual needs with the emotional needs. And I want to say that's where I got a lot of my kind of like my late counseling training, because he actually wrote a book, and if you guys ever want to pick it up, on how you reconcile your faith and your emotional healing, he wrote a program called Reconcilers. And it was very powerful because he believed in training up his ministry team to, A, not only deal with their own emotional shit. I'm sorry, cussing on a church show, but you know, that's me. All right. And I'm having a drink, so what?
Love it.
So when we deal with our own shit, we have then the ability to clean it out and help other people deal with their own stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, props to him. It was probably the most transformative experience I've had in church, but also some of the relationships that I built there with people who were still hurting and didn't embrace that healing path, you know, still hurt me a lot. And one of the reasons today that I just don't embrace church and religion, because it's just, you know, we just get to a point where you're like, you know, I know who my spiritual self is. I know what feels right to me. And I'm going to, you know, find a place. And even, you know, here in D.C., you know, I recently relocated here in D.C. There's a couple of churches that I would like to attend because I don't care what anybody says. When you're raising the church, you have a spiritual desire to connect with your spiritual self. You want to connect. And even though I'm not a big person on religion, there's still that part of me that wants to connect. And so I've got to find somewhere here that I can go that I can connect with that when I feel the need. And there's a couple of places that have been recommended to me that I'm gonna try out. So,
awesome.
Yeah,
I think that was the one thing that kind of made me nervous because, of course, at one point I was hurt from the church for other reasons, and then when I did my life and who I am, I decided to come back to church because that's all I know. That is all I know.
Yeah.
So I definitely understand that. And, you know, God really literally led me to this place where I could actually be myself. And for a while, it took me about maybe 6 months with my own mother, you know, being, like I said, minister of music. She didn't necessarily understand at all. And so, I mean, she had created sticky notes that said God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I remember bringing her to my church to meet Bishop, and he preached that Sunday. He said, you know, a lot of people say God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. Well, he created Steve too, fool.
Right.
When
right.
I tell you,
did he?
When I tell you a light bulb.
<Say that Tyra>.
A light bulb went off in my mother's head, and she got up and joined the church, and from then on accepted it. And that's why I feel like God will lead you where you need to be. You just have to be open to that and really walk in your truth, because at that point, it was no turning back. It was who I was. And if I didn't, I couldn't live my purpose, you know.
Yeah. Good for you. Okay, so a little random, not-so-well-known fact about Michelle Alexander. I attended Bible college for an entire year, and what I got from that was more of a historical understanding of what the Bible is and how it works into our daily religious lives. And I have to be honest with you, the more that I historically understood what the Bible was and what it meant and the symbolism behind scriptures, the further away from the religion that I got and more and closer to the spirituality of it I drew. So, I don't know where I was going with that. I just want to say that. But, you know, as I learned more about what like, the Bible and you know, you have people who quote scriptures all the time. That's where I was going. You have people who quote scriptures all the time, and they say, well, you know, like, not that Adam and Steve is a scripture, but, you know, they go to that, to the Garden of Eden, and they say that, you know, God created a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool and all, but then should we talk about how more people came? Because there's a whole scandal in that too. So if you want to, you know, talk about the gay part of it, you know, there's no basis to for that discussion for me.
Not at all.
There's all kind of so-called scandal in the Bible, and the basis for it all, at the end of the day, it's about love, and God is about love.
Absolutely.
And when you when you learn who Jesus was and who, you know, God is and what that is supposed to mean in your life, the bottom line, you can really get it, is all about love. So
absolutely.
So I want to talk with you guys about where. Okay, so we've got the movie. We're shooting it, right? Are we in production right now?
Yeah, we are. We just finished casting fully, and we are having our first read through, and we start production in November. We will premiere on during Easter weekend, 2014, and we have a
great launch week, by the way.
Thank you, thank you.
Very strategic. Well played, Onyx. Well played.
She's a smart one.
Yes. And we're going to tour it after that, enter it into some festivals, but we really don't want to just tour it in theaters. We want to take it to the churches. We want to take it to the churches, the ones who are affirming and the ones who are not, so we can start to have a dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, once I started this project and really started putting it out there, the response that I have gotten has been amazing. And it hasn't all been positive, but they've been listening. And they're anxious, and they're waiting. They want to see what it is. And I've been warned, you know, so many times, are you sure you want to do this? You're going to get a lot of backlash, like all kinds of stuff. And it's
this story needs to be all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, people get upset, they'll be all right.
They'll be fine.
You know, if emotion wells up in them, maybe it needs to, so that they can look at themselves and see how maybe they're not acting right. Maybe they have some judgment in their heart, and maybe how they're not loving according to God's plan. So good for you. Well, before
and
we go
and that
to
really
a,
is
a,
the key of this. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
The key of the whole film is love, and that is absolutely what it boils down to. And irregardless of what judgments you have in your heart, you cannot help but see the love in this film. And by seeing that love, you can truly grow closer to understanding that God is all love.
And I do want to say, too, that the cast, even with the cast, just to make mention, they're, you know, majority of them are actually not gay or lesbian. They have signed on to this project and are excited about the project as well, because their platform is love as well. You know, so they love the whole concept. They love the whole idea. I'm so, you know, proud of this cast and how they're stepping up. We have some phenomenal people that are going to really bring it. And embody what needs to be seen and heard and be the voice of those that are still hurting. So,
Good. Well, we're gonna wrap it up here. I do want to put it out there. I'm going to, for the next minute and a half, if anybody wants to ask a question of Onyx or Tyra or the writers, I want to go ahead and open it up for questions. So it looks like I've got a couple of people here who are wanted to ask some questions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call up the last four digits of your phone number, and then I'm going to bring you on live. So please keep your question brief, because we do have to go ahead and take a break and then move on to the next phase of our show. Caller with the last four digits of 4560, you are live now. Hello, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys? Great. I'm
good.
Great.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Gerald. This is actually Deacon Foster.
Yay!
Hey!
How are you?
Hey,
and so
Deacon
am
Foster.
I
don't know you, but I'm saying hey.
How are you? Good. I'm great.
Good. Thank you for calling. Do you have a question for the cast, or do you just want to show love?
I just want to show love. I am definitely excited. I have been listening to the dialogue since the show started this evening. And, you know, I haven't experienced this hurt myself personally, but I know every character in this script, you know, whether it be my daughter, her best friend, you know, a cousin, a brother, or a sister, you know, I'm not far removed from anybody in this whole entire script. And it really, 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 you know, hit home in a lot of areas. And as I got the complete script and I began to read through it, man, I'm telling you, that funeral scene, that that was I'm not going to tell it, but that was just, that's deep. That's
wow.
What it is, too.
That
deep.
Is awesome.
That's
what
deep.
I want to hear. I love
that's
that.
Deep. Because I sat there and I almost threw it. I wanted to be, I'm like, I don't even like who I'm about to play right now, you know.
Wow.
But, you know, but it was, it's deep. It's deep. And like I said, I'm really excited about it. And, hey, you don't worry about controversy or backlash. You're going to get it regardless whether it's people going to have something to say about
anything.
At the end of the day, right, Deacon, it just means that you're doing the right thing. When you pull scabs off of wounds, it means that there's a healing going on. And
oh, yeah.
People going to talk? Let them talk.
Yeah, they're going to talk regardless. But, you know, hey, I'm on board. I can't wait to see everyone. And, you know, I'm ready.
Thank you so much, Gerald. Gerald Savage. Oh, my God, awesome actor. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. You have a wonderful night,
all
honey.
Right. Do the same, okay?
All right. Okay, caller with the last four digits of 4065. You are live with the Girls Got On Air. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Who
is
this?
This is Noble Jules, one of the producers of Surfers.
Noble! Hey, honey, how are you?
I am great. Hello. I
thank you for calling
in. Thank you. You're welcome. I, too, wanted to call and show support and show
you,
love.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Oh, I, too, wanted to call and show support and love to these fabulous ladies for what they're doing and express that I have not only experienced church hurt myself, I have also seen what it can do to people, and I'm excited that it's going to, I know it's going to not just set a bar, it's going to cause a healing. You know, we talked about, yeah, we may have some backlashes and everything like that. But like you said, the wounds, the scars are going to come off, and a lot of healing is going to happen. And as a producer, I know that this is a blessing mission, and God is really, really working through this movie, and it's amazing. And the script, like I said, I'm one of the people who did experience church hurt. I was told a sermon that blew my mind. You know, like I'm a person that loved God from birth. Before, you know, I understood what life was, I loved God. And this sermon and the audacity of this, the words that came out of this person's mouth with so much authority, I just can't wait for them to see it. And basically, the question I do have, I want to put up there is this, how can I word this? Has writing the movie caused any of you, the writers, to have any kind of new feelings or new inspirations or anything about your own personal life? Like, did God speak? Did you hear God speaking through you while you're writing this movie?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Great question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Who wants to answer that?
Well, this is beautiful.
Go ahead.
You always do that. Mikhail, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's all right.
Okay. Well, for me, I really think I really took myself there to kind of be in a position to kind of hear from God as I wrote. So I can say I could honestly hear God have God speaking through me on some of those sections that I did write. But I actually took myself there to be in a place where I could, you know, hear from God as I wrote.
And I definitely have to say I did hear God and some of the things that I heard, you know, I have been trying to apply to my own life as far as purpose and drive and spirituality, because my spirituality is something I've struggled with for a very long time. and also the idea of religion. But I think I heard God saying, as long as I believe in Him, and as long as I remain faithful to Him, that there is no limit to what He will provide for me. So.
Mhm. Hmm.
Awesome. Well, Noble, thanks for coming in. I appreciate you, hon. I appreciate that question. That's a great question. Mm. So.
No problem. Great show, and you ladies have a great evening.
Thank you.
Yes, you too, honey, you too. All right, so here's what I want to do. I would like for you to just tell us a little bit about, okay, so what's your website, how can people contact you, when do we expect it, all that good stuff, and then we're going to take a quick break. I was in the coffee shop today just listening to some break music, and I decided I'm going to do some house gospel because I love house music, and we're talking about God, so it's a perfect match. So we're going to take a quick break and listen to some music. After, Onyx, you tell us, how do we follow you right now? How do we make sure that we're in touch with where this is going and how we can be involved and when it's coming out and, you know, all that stuff?
Absolutely. You can go to our website, which is www.churchhurtthemovie.com. You can go right on there and join our mailing list. We have a huge mailing list, and we are constantly sending updates about the film. You can also find any information about our other projects on onyxkeisha.com, and of course all social media. We're really putting up so many details about the film. We also need extras, so we're always casting for extras. We have two big churches to fill, so you know, if anyone is interested in that, definitely contact us, and we will definitely work with you to be able to be an extra in the film. But definitely go to the website, check out everything that we have about the film, and then anything about the production company in general, you can find that all on onyxkeisha.com or on Facebook. The name is Onyx, Twitter, Instagram, all of that, onyxkeisha.
Okay, awesome. Well, I want to thank you all for being a part of our show tonight. Feel free to hang around. I'll keep you live if you guys stay on. You know, we're going to have a great discussion. At the second half of our show, we're going to have Erica Brooks, who is a minister, who's going to talk about not only her her personal journey, but how she was able to reconcile her faith and her sexuality. And then we have her pastor calling in, who is going to talk about how she went from being a non-affirming church and pastor to a affirming church and pastor, and then maybe how we can take some of the direction of this and move forward in healing with it. So feel free to hang around. I'm going to take a quick break and just enjoy this because, you know, I was playing around music today and I just thought this would be fun. So enjoy the music, and we will be back in about 5 minutes. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome back to the second half of our show. I just want to appreciate everybody who joined us for the first time. And it looks like we've got a couple people still hanging on and calling in. So if you want to talk, you know, feel free. But I'm really excited about the second half of this show because we not only have we talked about this amazing movie that's coming out, to put this subject at the forefront of all of our faces, but I wanted to take it now to talk to clergy and talk about maybe what their reaction to this film may be and, you know, where we go from here. So I've got two amazing guests online with me currently. I've got Minister Erica Brooks, and I also have Reverend Beatrice Wise, who are going to share a little bit about their story. And then we're going to talk about where do we go from here with Church Hurt. So, Minister Brooks, how are you? And Reverend Wise, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm well. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for being a part of this show. I want to say, you know, just thank you. You know, we needed this second half to kind of bring it all together and really talk about where we go from here. So I just appreciate you taking the time out of your evening to join us. And Reverend Wise, are you there?
I'm here.
Yay, how are you?
I'm good.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I can hear everything.
Oh, perfect, perfect. I was telling Minister Brooks, you know, thank you for taking the time to come on and you know, discuss this subject. And I think I want to start with Minister Brooks with you. I know you and I have had some personal conversations about your journey in the church and kind of what it means to you. And so I just wanted to give you a few minutes to talk about maybe what this subject means to you and how you can pull in your own personal journey.
Okay, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for inviting us on. I'm excited to be a part of this conversation. Big ups to Onyx and Beautiful and Kale and all the cast and the crew and all those folks for bringing this topic to the film. Because too many of us have or still are suffering in silence because we don't talk about our hurts. And that healing comes with that release of it. And sometimes that comes from just being vocal and speaking those hurts out loud and getting support from other people. So thank you so much for shedding light on this topic because there's so many people that don't want to talk about it so they don't think they can. So thanks for this forum. My particular journey,
absolutely,
I'm sure, is my journey is probably like a whole lot of other people. So as I share my story, I'm pretty sure a lot of the listeners will be nodding their heads and saying amen and right on. So I'm going to start with just saying that, like you, Michelle, I grew up in the Church of God in Christ, also known as the Pentecostal Church. Some people just get down and say the Sanctified Church. And when I was growing up in the church, I don't really recall hearing any blatant, you know, fire and brimstone and damnation for the pulpit, but I knew there was like a really strong sense that homosexuality was not right in choosing God. So as a child, I mean, I knew early on that I had a certain fondness, if you will, for the same gender. So that's where my struggle started. So for years being in the church, I kept absorbing those subliminal messages that something was wrong with me and that God was not pleased with me, and ultimately I was going straight to hell. So my struggle continued throughout my adolescent years. And, I mean, I really, really wrestled with this. I was so deep in the closet that there was not an ounce of light coming in. I was just in complete utter darkness. And I was hurting really, really bad. So like most people that struggle with this, you know, you numb your pain. And I chose to numb my pain with alcohol, and eventually became an alcoholic. And by that time, this is my girl.
I can't hear you.
Is this better? Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Where did I leave off? Going to just numbing my pain with alcohol, and eventually I became addicted and became alcoholic. And this was like in my early adulthood. So by that time, I completely disconnected from my home church because I felt like I didn't belong. But I didn't disconnect from God. And as a matter of fact, it was because of my relationship with God that, you know, that I'm still here. Because there were times where I just did not want to be on this earth, but I knew that God was still there. So he kept me through all those years.
And that's one of the things that I'm so grateful about, having that foundation and having grown up in the Church of God in Christ, because it gave me the foundation that's helped me in my walk with God today. So fast forward a few years, by that time I just felt like I really didn't need church. I mean, I had my daily devotional, my Bible, and it was just me and God at Bedside Baptist. So I just felt like I didn't really need church. But what I realized is as I was doing my own independent study, I found out that the God that I had known before was not the God that I grew to know as an adult. And it wasn't at all that God changed, because we know that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but it was my introduction to him that was different. The God that I was introduced to as a child was definitely not the God that I grew to know as an adult. So that was a profound change for me.
It is amazing what happens when our God concept changes. All of a sudden, we just see it differently.
Absolutely. But it wasn't until I read The Purpose-Driven Life that I understood the importance of connecting with other believers in the body of Christ. But by that time, I just had no use for church folks. But as I continued to continue to walk with God, that longing kept getting stronger and stronger to get back in church. And then when my children were getting older, I felt that it was my responsibility to give them the same foundation that was offered to me. And then if they get older, they can make their own choices. So knowing I want to be back in church and also wanting that for my children, I'm like, we got to find a church. So we just kind of set out to find a church home. And what we ended up in an open but not affirming church. It was really back in church. The worship experience was awesome. The teaching, all the stuff that I've been missing. And it was one of those mega churches, so there was really little opportunity to really connect with other people. But then one Sunday in December 2008, I remember like it was yesterday, the pastor instructed us to turn to Romans 1. And I knew that Romans 1 contained one of those six scriptures that's used to condemn homosexuality. So I'm standing there like holding my breath. And, of course, he went there that Sunday. Okay? So at that time,
I'm
like,
And you had your partner next to you, right?
Yes.
And
our daughter, too. So he went there. He went there. And I was ready to be done. I was ready to get up, walk out to church, chuck up the deuces, and be done. But God told me not to run, because that was my first time belonging to a church in my adult life. Okay? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep going. So then 2 months later, in February, he went there again. I'm like, I'm ready to go. But God was like, do not run from the church. So then that June, the third time, it was a Wednesday night Bible study, and my daughter was sitting next to me. And I'm like, I can't raise her in this church. I just cannot do it. And, I prayed about it, and I felt that release of God telling me, okay, you can go now. And then about a month later, I ended up at Liberation Christian Church, where I am now. And it was definitely a blessing. But I eventually sent a letter to my former pastor. I felt like when you leave the church, you kind of formally send a letter rescinding your membership. But I also wanted to share with him why I was leaving. So I just, wanted to send a letter, make my peace. I didn't want a response. I didn't want, like, a written sermon on homosexuality. I just said, hey, I'm gone. This is why I'm gone. God bless. And then a couple of weeks later, I pull an envelope out the mailbox, and the return address was from the church. I'm like, oh, Lord, what does this dude got to say? So I opened it up, and really it was a very appropriate and respectful letter. And he concluded with a sentence that really sticks to me today. He said, affirmation is an inside job. And he was right. So at that time,
I got a question for you, Mr. Brooks. So when he said affirmation was an inside job, was he basically removing the responsibility he had as clergy and as a church to love you regardless and putting it back on you, like almost switching it around and saying, hey, I don't really need to love you? Or was he more trying to be loving with that message? Because I might have taken that, well, hold on. Where are you as clergy going to take responsibility for loving regardless?
I would admit that it pinched a little bit, but as I thought about it, he was right. Like, affirmation has to begin within.
Okay, we can't hinge our information on other people or we will fail. But he was right. And I understood that. I agree with you.
It is an inside job. But I think as clergy, there is, you weren't talking about personal information. You weren't talking about the things that you tell yourself when you wake up in the morning. You were talking about being affirmed in a place that you worship, that you pay tithes mm-hmm. at, that you spend your time, energy, and spirit in. So that was such a jab to me. And maybe I'm just internalizing my own stuff right now.
Well, no. Michelle, you know what? There are some people.
I would be upset for you.
No. But understand this too. There are some people who go to open and affirming churches, and because they're not comfortable with who they are, they're still not comfortable. So you can take someone who is, you could take someone who knows this is a welcoming church, but because they're still wrestling with their sexuality, they're not going to feel comfortable. So it does have to come inside. You know, there are also some people that go. Yeah, there are also some people that are gay, and they still go to non-affirming churches, but they're so rooted in who they are. They are rooted in their relationship with God that they don't let that phase them.
Right.
But I'm sure I got what he was saying, but I also realized why God wanted me to stay in that church for 6 months after I left.
Okay.
I needed to develop that internal affirmation. So regardless of where I go, I got that within. So I didn't need the pastor. I didn't need the church to affirm me. I had to get that myself. Now, granted, being in an open and affirming church is good, okay, because you should be able to feel comfortable in God's house and where you worship. So I'm not going
to
say.
Well, I think that you talking about that is a perfect segue to really bring Reverend Wise in, because we've got about 15 minutes in the show, really about 10 more minutes of talking time. And I really want to talk with her, with you, Reverend Wise, about how, from what I understand, at one point you had a very non-affirming message in your ministry, and then something switched for you, and you came into a place where you were more affirming of your LGBT members. And I just want to talk with you about what that process was like for you.
Well, I guess I should clarify a little bit.
Okay.
I didn't have a congregation. I was part of another church where I was a youth minister, where I was serving in ministry, and the context of that ministry and congregation was non-affirming. And you know, that was pretty much what I had been taught and believed at that time. But I was in seminary, and I was studying and growing and learning. And this was challenged by a variety of things, particularly things that I was learning about the Bible, not necessarily particularly about homosexuality, but just about how we do interpretation, how we understand the Bible, how the Bible is used. And that journey and that study opened me to some of what was happening in terms of interpreting scriptures around homosexuality. And then I had friends that came out to me, people that I had suspected, and just being convicted one day, being in a chapel service, talking to one of my friends, and I couldn't focus on the fact that it was my friend and we were having a conversation. All I could focus on the fact was that she was lesbian. And the Holy Spirit just was talking to me, like, really? Like, do you see yourself? Like, you really can't even focus on her, the person. So that's when I knew I definitely had some issues that I had to reconcile with, even what I knew to be my own spirituality. So Liberation, the church that ended up happening, that church was in part created on purpose to be open and affirming, because in St. Louis there's some ministries coming up now, but at that time, 4 years ago, there really wasn't that, you know, churches that were rooted in African American spirituality, but that were bold, unashamedly, openly, and affirming. And so that's kind of how I got there.
Okay. Well, as you guys were listening to the conversation tonight about Church Hurt the Movie and the direction that they want to go and what the storyline really is, how do you think it'll be received into the church community?
Say that one more time, that little part I didn't hear the end.
Okay. As you guys are listening to the writers and directors of Church Hurt tonight talk about what their plans for that movie is, how do you feel it will be received in the community? What do you anticipate would happen from that being maybe even aired in church services?
Well, I mean, it's still a very divisive issue in a lot of denominations and in the life of the church. And so I think it will get a hearing in those churches that are open and affirming. And I definitely think they should, the writers and producers should definitely make, you know, maybe a tour, just be really, really intentional about making sure that different churches and maybe in each city show, you know, the movie. But there's definitely going to be, I think, probably some backlash and some pushback, you know, around, you know, we're not judging. This is just what we believe. You know, we're not being judgmental. We're not being hateful. This is just what we believe. And so I think there's definitely going to be some pushback around from communities that are not open and affirming.
I'm sorry, Reverend, you're cutting out. I can't really hear what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying that churches that are not open and affirming, I think you're gonna find that there's some pushback. There's definitely gonna be some pushback against the movie, and probably
okay.
some of its interpretation. Yeah.
Okay. I am going to open up for the next 5 minutes for some questions. I see that we do have a caller in queue that would like to ask some questions. So caller with the last four digits, 1656, you're live on the air with a Girl Scout on air. How are you? Hello, caller 1656.
Oh, last sorry,
digits,
I'm good.
Phone number. Okay, who am I speaking with?
This is Darian Smith.
Hey, Darian, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Do you have a question or a comment for Reverend Wise or Minister Brooks or me?
Actually, no. I actually just got online. I was a little busy, and I was looking for the email. I just got the email, so I apologize for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have anything you wanted
but
to say?
I heard everything you were saying, so I actually don't have any questions or comments. Just ready to get rolling.
Okay, so awesome. Well, thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you, hon. All right. So number 9014, last four digits 9014, you are live on the air with a Girl Scout on air. How are you?
Hi, I'm not sure that you're not. Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, this is Michelle.
Hi.
Do you have any questions or comments for either myself or Reverend Wise or Minister Brooks? Hello? Nope? Okay. All right, so we're gonna get back to the topic. We've got about, let's see, about 5 minutes left in the show. My question for you two is, where do we go from here as a community, as a spiritual community, as a clergy? How, once we start talking about this stuff, or even just people coming into your ministry with church pain, tell us a little bit about how you minister to those people and how do you help and aid them in the healing process so that they can learn to trust not only clergy, not only church, but even God again. How do you help them do that?
I would say initially, I mean, there's a lot of reteaching that has to happen around the Bible, around spiritual practices, around their God concept, their theology, their interpretation. And so very slowly, but people have to be willing. And just like Minister Brooks mentioned earlier, we found in our community that there are a lot of people still struggling deeply with their own identity. And even in a very loving and affirming environment that's celebratory of queer people, people that are not okay with themselves still really, really struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Now, you two attend the same church, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because Reverend Wise is your pastor, correct? Minister
yes.
Brooks? Okay. Let me put this out there. Have you guys ever thought of creating a Bible study class or just a study class on relearning who God is after you've been hurt by church?
I'm just putting it out there.
since we're talking about retraining and we're talking about re-educating. Have you guys ever thought about doing that? Or do you know of any programs in your area or that are out there or even online that may help people just unlearn the God concept that they have been given and relearn who God really is in their life?
Mm-hmm. Not that I'm aware of, but that's definitely something we can talk about in developing the course around that. I think it would be an awesome opportunity, especially those who are first coming to the church and weren't quite sure because they might have gone to different churches and might have had subsequent negative experiences. So, but that was, that's definitely something that can be developed because it is very vital. But I wanted to offer a little something else about moving forward. You know, first of all, we have to get to a place where we need to heal. Because if we still have those emotional wounds, you know, sometimes that's a block to even getting growing spiritually. So, you know, a lot of times people just pray about them, you know, just like the other hurts that we have to pray about our church hurts too. And also remember, I mean, if anything, I remember my former pastor is remembering that affirmation is that inside job. And one of the things that I've learned is understanding that it's really not about a religion, but about our relationship with God.
Yes,
so many people get sucked up into religion that their actual relationship with God falls by the wayside. But just really kind of getting to the root of those hurts and understanding what it comes from and just kind of get to a place where you're ready to heal. You know, you may need to get some counseling, a support group, but ultimately, you know, as believers, we understand the power of forgiveness, and that's usually what really gives us our biggest release is to forgive those who hurt us, you know, whether it was intentional or unintentional. And that's how we free ourselves from those past hurts, just to say, you know what, I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to go on with my relationship with God. So those are just some key things about just moving forward and recovering from those hurts.
I think that those are that, you know, as we kind of end the near the end of our show, I've got a couple of callers online. I just want to say I'm so sorry. I just do not have time to bring you on. I have got an ending piece that I want to start to play here in about 30 seconds, but I wanted to say thank you so much, Minister Brooks, for coming on and sharing your story and connecting me with Reverend Wise. I think that you two in this conversation was absolutely necessary so that we can kind of bring it all to a head and bring it all to an understanding of kind of where we go from here. So I just want to say thank you so, so much for supporting us. As we're getting ready to end the show,
thank you
again. Thank you. As we're getting ready to end the show, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. I've had several call-ins tonight. Our chat room is going crazy. I just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting A Girl's Guide and A Girl's Guide on Air. Tune in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about Girlfriend Boot Camp. And I'm not talking lover girlfriend. I'm talking about our homegirl girlfriends. How do we cultivate and support healthy friendships in our lives? So definitely tune in 2 weeks from today. I'm going to leave you with this piece from my amazing girlfriend who is just so talented. This piece is called If You Believe in Creation, You Have to Believe in Evolution. So this is from Teresa Delvest. Enjoy this as we close our show. I love all of you guys, and thank you so much for all of your participation this evening. Mwah.
So if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because you must believe that things are not as they used to be and that the world has changed. Humans have changed, adapted in ways both good and bad. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because I know no man today born of dust or dirt, molded or shaped as if from clay, and placed resting beneath a tree in a garden so peacefully. Man is born of chaos, screaming and pain. He comes forth from a woman, taken from her belly, cut from her cord, drink from her breast. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because Adam, according to you, did none of these things, as all men do today. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because I know no woman today born barring a rib or anything else from a man except sperm. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because there was no speak of sperm, nor that it came from the pointy rib. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because if you don't, well, then you believe in magic or aliens. Adam was placed on Earth. Eve was placed on Earth. Magic. Alien. And nothing remotely similar to that has reoccurred since that day. No man has been placed. No woman has been placed. And if man has yet to arrive in the same fashion since that day, a change took place, and that is evolution. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because no matter what Adam and Eve look like to you, the rest of us do not resemble their hue. And so we traveled the world and adapted to home in all its many forms. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because we are returned to the earth after our passing, and the words ashes to ashes, dust to dust seems odd and confusing when there are no barren sands sifting in my mother's womb. I was not made of ash nor dust. I was made of love and lust. And if you believe in creation, you must believe that Adam and Eve created Cain and Abel in the same manner. That is evolution. No one taught them how to do it. And if you believe in creation, you must believe that sex is evolution, for it was the original change. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because across the fields, in some other land, Cain, after murdering Abel, killed off a quarter of the world's population, met a woman who became his wife, and they too took part in change and created more children. Or if you believe solely in creation, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, and the world's population was four. One woman for three men, two of which were her children. And so if you solely believe in creation, you believe in incest, and, well, that's just nasty. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because then neither Adam nor Eve were born. Cain was the first to be born, which was new. Abel was the first to die, which was also new. Therefore, birth and death would then be evolution. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because why else would your drawings and paintings depict Adam and Eve with belly buttons? To whom were they attached? And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because children exist, and children grow, and children change. A child is evolution. And if you believe in creation, you must believe in evolution, because regardless of what happened on day one, nothing has been the same since.
You have been listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at http://voicerepublic.com.